Who in here has been keeping up on their reading through the New Testament? A few hands. Good. The rest of you, you can. We have till the end of the summer, so that's still a lot of time. Okay, so I encourage you to pick up your Bible, start at Matthew, and read through the New Testament. There's some very good stuff, you know, very, very good stuff. We're a little bit behind, but, you know, we're staying on, you know. Anyone in here memorized the verse for this month? Kayla, you want to try and say it?
And so, it says, who contested of God, holy and beloved, but on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, praying with one another and forgiving each other, though it has been placed against anyone. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also shall you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And with the peace of Christ ruling your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body and be faithful. Colossians 3, 12-15.
All right. Yeah. Good job. Good job. Crystal? Okay. Very good. Anyone else? Okay, I want to encourage you guys to be reading together at home, alone. Read through your Bibles, okay? Memorize the verse that we have for the month. I can't encourage you enough to be doing that. All right, 1 John chapter 4. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer one more time here. Our dear Heavenly Father, our gracious God, Holy One, Sovereign Lord, you are so good and kind and gracious and loving and merciful. Lord, for all of us are deserving of death and punishment. Lord, but you have chose to save a people like us and call us your own. Call us your children even. What a love. We thank you, Father, that you would choose to save us, to rescue us from the pits of hell, and give us eternal life, that we may glorify you and honor and praise you, Lord. Lord, we pray that as we go through your holy word, that it would convict us, that it would change us, that would cause in us to think rightly of you, that in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, we would praise you and we would be glorifying to you, Father. Lord, we pray that you would give us, all of us in here tonight, give us ears to hear your word, Father, and may it do its perfect work in all of our lives. And it's in Christ's name that we can come to you and pray, Lord. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And I'll go ahead and read to you. I'll get that next week. And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Okay. So we obviously know that the chapter breaks and stuff were added on later. So he's just continuing right on here. Last week we talked about he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and how just amazing that is, that God would abide in us. Okay, so he continues now. He says, beloved. Okay, and this is something special here. This isn't just this little, oh, by the way. John is telling his readers here, beloved. And this is spoken only of Christians as united with God or with each other in the bonds of holy love. Meaning, conjoined in the bonds of faith and love. That's what the meaning of beloved is here. That we're united as one in His holy love. So, beloved, he says, do not believe every spirit. John just finished writing that the Spirit abides in us. And so we have His help. We have His empowering, right? He is our encourager, right? So what is significant about this? As John says, do not believe every spirit. What do you think it's important about for him to almost warn us, beloved, those who are united, who are one, who are kindred spirit, who are linked together. In other words, the family of God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. What's important about that there? About him warning us.
So that we don't get deceived.
Okay. The term spirit was used to express the man who pretended to be and teach under the Spirit's influence. Okay, so you had someone who was teaching, claiming that what he was teaching was inspired by the Spirit. Okay, so that's key here, and that's important. Okay, because even now, there are many who are teaching and proclaiming, okay? And they're saying, hey, what I teach comes from the Spirit. And so John says, hey, you have God the Spirit abiding in you. Okay? Now, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe everyone who comes up and teaches, in other words. Okay? And this is spoken of a person or teacher who acts or professes to act under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by divine inspiration. Discerning of spirits of teachers, a critical faculty of the mind quickened by the Holy Spirit, consisting not only of the power of discerning who was a prophet and who was not, but also of a distinguishing in the discourses of a teacher. What proceeded from the Holy Spirit and what did not. Okay? And so these are very, very important things here that John is writing for us now. Because us now, he is writing to us. He is saying, beloved, you right here in this building, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every spirit. Literally, don't be gullible. And I have that in bold letters here. Don't be gullible. Well, what do I mean by that? Matthew 24:4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Take heed that no one deceives you. Ephesians 5:6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Paul is telling his readers, let no one deceive you with empty words. In Colossians, Paul talks about, watch out for those who have flattering speech or persuasive words. You know, the guys who get up there and, man, they sure do sound convincing. It sounds like they know what they're talking about, right? Man, he sounds convincing. And those words he's using, man, they're persuasive. Paul warns about that. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Later on, Colossians 2:18, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, introducing into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Who is the head?
Christ.
When someone comes up and teaches and does not clinging to the head or preaching anything contrary, run. Flee. Beware. Don't be gullible. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. 1 John 3:7, which we went through. Little children, let no one deceive you. If you remember us talking about that, how important that was. The little children there was a term of endearment. Okay, and he's saying, little children, let no one deceive you. Deceive is the Greek planeo, and means to roam from safety, truth, or virtue. Misled to form a wrong judgment. You understand that? So if we're just immature little babes and don't know what's in here, and we're listening to someone's teaching, hey, you know, he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Right? He's a pastor. Surely he is speaking the truth. We can be misled to form something that is wrong. Wrong judgment. Fooled. Again, deceived means to roam from safety, from truth, from virtue. And as MacArthur put it at our conference a couple weeks ago, it carries the idea of a fish, okay, who's swimming along and thinks he's about to have dinner, and then is dinner. You understand that? The fish is deceived. He's just swimming along there, and all of a sudden something's dangling in the water, and wow, all right, lunch. Pow, next thing he is lunch. He is deceived. The fish was misled. What appeared to be food was only a trap. A deception, spiritually speaking, a wind of doctrine that comes by, and which a lot of people jump right on board. Well, this is the next great thing. I'm jumping on board. Here's all my money. Here's all my support. Fool me, trick me. I'm gullible. Test the spirits, he says. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Dokimazo, Zodiades writes, to try, prove, discern, distinguish, approve. That's what goes on in testing the spirits. To try, prove, discern, distinguish, approve. It has the notion of proving a thing whether it is worthy or not. Can you guys do that? Do you know how to, when you're listening to someone teach, whether it's here, upstairs, if you're a guest at a church, someone else's church, if you're watching someone at TV, do you know how to try, prove, discern, distinguish, approve? Do you know whether or not it's worthy or not? It also is to make trial of. To make trial of. To put it to the proof. Examine it. What takes place in examining? That you completely tear it apart, you examine it. Well, how do we do that? How do we put it to the proof? How do we test it? How do we examine it? By knowing the truth. By memorizing scriptures that they're written on our hearts, so that when something is said, we know it's not right because the truth is on our hearts. Examine. Prove. Prove that they are of God. This is something that is so important here, guys. And I hope you're not just thinking, yeah. You know, basically all preachers are preaching the same thing. God is love, love, you know, John 3:16. And John 3:16 is a great verse. And God is love. But there's so much more that we must know. So that we don't get deceived like that fish. And thinking that, hey, this is the next good thing. It sounds good, it looks good, I'm jumping on board. And then you're misled. And you're carried off somewhere where danger is lurking. John has repeated a few times of this very thing. So it's possible that there was some in his fellowship, whoever he's thinking of, that were too open to new teachings, new doctrines. And so he's reminding them over and over a few times. That's why if you remember just a few chapters ago, chapter 2, verse 27, John writes, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you." And we kind of covered that last week. It abides in you. "And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." Listen to that. "You do not need that anyone teach you." Does anyone remember what that means? Does that mean that, well, you know, it says right in the Bible that I don't need anyone to teach me. Don't need to go to church. Bible says it. What that means is you do not need anyone to teach you something new. Some new doctrine. Some new teaching that is not in here. They'll say something like this. "Well, I was praying last night and God spoke to me. He's given me a new message, a new teaching, something you've never heard before." When they say that, red flag should go up. Because there should be no new doctrine. It's all right here. There should be no new teaching, something that the gospel has not told us before. You understand? Does that make sense? Something new. Some new doctrine. And if you guys ever hear that anywhere, get up and leave. Or at least you better be discerned enough that you know it's not right. That you know it doesn't align with the scriptures, with God's holy word. And if you're not mature enough, guess what? You might get deceived. You're going to be misled. Because guess what? Those guys, they're good. They're going to sound convincing. They're going to sound like they know what they're talking about. They're going to use scripture verses to try and back them up. Are you mature enough? Are you strong enough in the Word? Is it on your heart?
What's the Greek word for test?
For test? I don't know it right now. I'm sorry. If Elijah has his thingy. Okay. Actually, it is, I'm sorry, dokimazo. Dokimazo. And just, again, it means to try, prove, discern, distinguish, approve. Okay. So, you do not need that anyone teach you some new doctrine. Do we all understand that? Are we sure? So why does John emphasize that we should not believe every spirit and that we test them to see if they are of God? Why is he warning us? Why is he saying, my beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are of God? Why is he telling us this?
So many false teachers out there.
Okay, exactly. Listen to what he says. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. He's saying, in other words, you better be on guard. You better be a Christian who is continuously growing and maturing, becoming more and more like Christ. Because the false prophets and teachers are out there, and they're trying to deceive you. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. Is that any different from today? No. There are Antichrists out there right now, trying to deceive you, us. 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. And at that time, those guys were called the Gnostics. And they taught, if you guys don't remember, they taught that Christ didn't actually come in the flesh, which we know was wrong. And he says, this is a deceiver and an antichrist. This guy is a deceiver and an antichrist. And I want to stress again that it has not changed today. There are false teachers out there today, preaching something that is contrary to the Word of God. And so what is John telling us to do? He's saying, do not believe every spirit. Test them to see if they're of God. Try them. Prove them. Make sure. Don't be a gullible fish. You make sure. They are abroad always. And they want to deceive you. They're looking for the immature ones who will hop right on board. And that's why it's important that even at a young age, you know the Word of God. Well, I'm okay right now, Brandon. You know, my parents will protect me. You know, you'll protect me, you know. And yes, I'm sure your parents will. And yes, I will do everything I can. But you have a responsibility also. There's nothing that says in here that I can find, well, because I'm young, I don't start memorizing scriptures until I'm adult. That I don't have to get serious about God until I'm 27, 8-ish. When you're young, you can know the Word of God. Amen. When you're young, you can love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you're young, the scriptures can be on your heart so that you do not sin against Him. When you are young, now you can say, you know what? I'm going to make sure that no one deceives me. Now. So, how do we do this? How do we test the spirits to see whether they are God? by being students of the Word. That's it. I have no 10 steps, no magic formula. It's by all of us in here being students of the Word of God. Daily having our noses in our Bibles, soaking it up, letting His Word change us, shape us into Christ's image. The doctrines and practice of all religious teachers should be tried by the Word of God. This is our standard. If it's not in here, it's not truth. If it's not in context, it's not truth. You know, sometimes people just need a little correction. Maybe they're just really ignorant and thought that this verse meant this. But others, specifically what John is talking about, are the deceivers. The ones that want to get you hook, line, and sinker and have you for dinner. If they agree with this, they should be received. If they agree with the Word of God, they should be received. And if not, they should be rejected. The right and the duty of all men to be acquainted with the Word of God, that they may rightly judge and act in this manner. And if you were in Sunday school, I think it was last Sunday, I read this quote here. I'm going to read it again. The 19th century Englishman Robert C. Chapman wrote this: "Seeing that so many preach Christ and so few live Christ, I will aim to live Him. I'm not just going to preach Him. I'm going to live Him." And that should be a quote that all of us have. I'm not just going to read this. I'm not just going to sit in church. I'm going to be like Christ with everything that I have, with all that is in within me. I'm going to read this daily. I'm going to pray daily that I can become more and more like Christ, that He would be my everything, that truly I love Him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength, so that I can truly love the brethren, so that I can truly die to myself to put each other first. So many claim Christ, but so few live Christ. Let all of us aim to live Christ. Amen? When we walk out this door, let us not forget. Let us ponder these things. Let us discuss them tonight as we fellowship. Let us discuss the things of God. Let us edify and build each other up through our conversations. Let us together aim to live Christ, to be like Him. Let's pray. Father, forgive us of our sins, Lord. We thank You so much for, Father, for Your holy word, for Your scriptures that You breathed. This is Your words that we have here in front of us. Shame on us if it is collecting dust. If it is just in the trunk of our car, forgive us, Lord. For we have at our hands Your holy word. Everything we need for life and godliness so that we can aim to live You, to be like You. Forgive us, Lord, for when our Bibles collect dust. God, forgive us. Convict us, Lord. May it be said of us in here that we read our Bibles daily. Not because we're trying to fulfill some reading thing, but because we're children of God. And we want to dig in here and dig in here and dig in here to know You more. That we can truly glorify You in all of our actions and thoughts and words. That our lifestyle will be singing of Your glories. That we wake up in the morning with a song on our lips because of our hunger and desire to know You more, to love You more, and to love each other, Father. I pray, Father, that us in here, that we would be mature children. Children of God Almighty that know Your word, that they're written on our hearts, that we can say, we are not going to be deceived. We are not going to be gullible. We are going to test. We are going to approve or disapprove whether or not someone is or not teaching God's truth. Let us be discerning. Give us wisdom, Lord. Give us discernment, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Thank you.